This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Morning. What's up?
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Watched some great playoff games yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I was going to say, I'm like joking, kidding. they were awful. Did take part in a dollar wing night, which is electric. Love that. Love that.
Missed the times where that was a quarter. And those times were not that far away, actually.
I'll tell you,
though. I'm not that old.
I'll tell you, though. Yeah, quarter would be nice. I'm still probably getting 10 wings.
Yes.
We'll see if we go to round two.
That is actually something about it. It's more about that it's a deal for you.
Yeah.
Not that you're going ham on wings.
Yeah, I'm not all of a sudden going to be like, well, now today.
Just because it's cheaper does not mean my stomach has more room for you.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Because I remember when we were walking out of here, I said that, and you like hit me in the shoulder like multiple times. You're like, yeah.
I was jazzed.
And then you also, like me, did not finish even your 10 wings.
No. I've lost it, man. I've lost the touch. I really have.
No, ready? You're slimmer.
I've completely lost it, man.
I have no excuse for not finishing 10 wings and taking them home.
I completely lost it.
Yeah.
I had it where like that was chump change. No worries. No issues. Gone in 20. And that's because I like to talk. Now, what are we doing here?
Well, but again, just because it's cheaper doesn't mean that there's more room in your stomach.
That's right. It's because I got older. Now my body's like, hey, no, you can't do that.
I don't know what this whole bit is with you saying that you're old when you're not.
I'm older now.
But
man.
I have a problem.
I am older now.
I'm gaining a problem.
When I was 18, the stomach was an empty, just cavernous waste where I could, no problems. I'd then go to practice, burn it all off, we'd still be good. Now, I can't do what I once did, man. I'm an athlete out of his prime. And it's only hitting me recently. I'm still playing the game.
You
but,
are?
But I'm a little slow. I'm that step slower, Derek.
I'm a step slower.
You know? And it's sad.
Wow.
And it's sad. And you know, the commentators are talking about it going, man, it's just, he doesn't have that fastball anymore.
803-0550. Is Zach washed?
And they pan over to me, and I got that look on my face, too. Like, me and my wife got to have the conversation. It might be time to call the career. Might be time. It's tough. It's tough to acknowledge it, but you gotta.
I don't know how to process any of what you're saying right now.
It's fine. You know what I don't know how to process? The bad playoff games we've had in these conference finals.
I was going to say, that conversation might have been as disappointing as the games last night.
Look, I want to, and I have. I've acknowledged I really enjoy the Florida Panthers. And I'm coming to grips with the fact that I kind of like that no one likes the OKC Thunder. Like that they're sort of these villains before they've even won anything. I'm enjoying it. But I want to be entertained in these conference finals before the final. We had to deal with this for 2 months. These are a grind of playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to the end can be something even for diehard sports fans of like, I'm checking out.
You need a reason to keep coming.
I got to have a reason to keep coming. And watching the conference finals, literally outside of Knicks Pacers, be pretty much blowout after blowout after blowout of very clearly there is a better team here.
Yeah.
Is really deflating. Now, I've loved, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Does he go to the free throw line a lot? Yeah, but last night he went 4 times and still put up like 32 points. He has been on a tear recently with Edmonton. Them going, we're going to give up 5 goals in game 1 since 16-3 goal difference there.
including another shutout from Stuart Skinner, which is hilarious.
Lights out. Lights out. And then Florida, just it doesn't matter about the injuries. They when they are somewhat healthy or somewhat just on the ice, Carolina is just not in the same class as them. There is something entertaining to it, but after about 2 months of a grind through the playoffs, I need more than just appreciating teams. I need to like appreciate the series. I need to see the storylines develop rather than, oh, is Tyrese Halliburton actually the most underrated basketball player? Because, you know, we didn't talk about him for 15 years. I mean, that's my thing, too. Oklahoma City and Indiana. All in likelihood, it's going to be Indiana in the NBA Finals. The rating is going to be horrendous there. But it's also because no one stopped talking about Boston or New York the entire playoffs. And then the only reason they stopped talking about the Lakers is they were out in round one. OKC won 60-plus games this year. They are going to be part of the 90s Bulls and the 72-win Golden State Warriors of the most games they've won in a season. If they win the NBA title, they will have won 84 games this year.
Mm-hmm. That's...
And... outside of like Oklahoma City, I don't think anybody knows. Did you see the report yesterday that their conference finals tickets for last night's game, you know, the game to clinch going to the NBA finals last night, ticket price was like $172.
That's honestly, I
paid $90 to get into the Bandits game.
I'm going to say this. I think that it's nice to not see price gouging for a ticket like that. I genuinely like that. I am of the sort that I am worried that professional sports are pricing out the average fan, and that eases my concerns a day like that. It really does. Like I feel that in a different sense is enlightening to me, heartening, so to say. I want more games to be that cheap.
That, yeah, I was going to say, I'm not complaining about that, but it's just more, I think it also pushes, like, OKC is just a forgotten franchise that has somehow won 62 games. And what's crazy is they shouldn't be. Since getting to Oklahoma City, they've had Kevin Durant, MVP, all-time great. Russell Westbrook, MVP, borderline all-time great. I don't think so. James Harden.
At least a franchise great.
Yeah, yeah. They went to an NBA Finals in 2012. Like, they've always been in the zeitgeist. They've always been on the tips of NBA fans' tongues. And yet, when they actually have, like, easily their best team ever, easily, they are going to dominate for the next few years because of draft picks and the young team they have. It feels like, outside of, like, true hoop knowers, no one cares about it.
Thank you to Chris Paul and Paul George, I guess. The returns they got on those have set up everything for them.
The key to
and they're not even done.
Yeah, the key to getting to the NBA Finals, by the way, get rid of Paul George. Indiana, a few years ago. Oklahoma City. Just get rid of Paul George. You're going to the NBA Finals.
Is he still in L.A.?
It might take some time. He's with the Clippers, I believe.
Yeah, because that was the big deal, is that he suddenly ended up going to L.A. and...
No, he's with Philly. He's with Philly. Yep.
So the Clippers can't even escape that curse.
No.
Nope. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I don't know what the how those conference finals are. Just, you want to see if the Knicks can respond at least and try to make it a series against Indiana. But it is looking like Indiana's cohesion as a team is just there. They are the better put together team. The Knicks might have bigger names. Indiana has a better cohesion, better team, and a bench that they can rotate in and out. I think the next problem is their depth. They have bigger names, but...
they can run seven guys,
can run seven guys at best.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Robinson can go nine comfortably.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson gives you nothing offensively. Josh Hart, they've had to bench at times for Mitchell Robinson defensively. Minnesota couldn't hit shots. I mean, they went ice. Julius Randle gave up on the series by the end of it. I mean, they were blown out last night. What, 124-94? I think was the final score. Yeah. So that was never a game. And then you go over to hockey. Carolina. Hey, man. Good on you. 2-0. Good on you. Oh, all right. It's 2-2. They scored in 30 seconds to make it 2-2.
And better yet. So Paul Maurice took a lot of the headlines yesterday with the whole thing of, like, I don't think the coaches should be in the handshake line, yada, yada, yada. And it skips over something egregious that Rob Brind'Amour said last night.
Yeah, we were talking about this walking in today.
So, quoted, "It's the craziest thing that we're this far and all we're hearing is negativity from everybody. This summer, with the pieces that left this organization, I was like, I don't think we're making the playoffs." End quote. I'm sorry. Your job as a head coach is to try to get everybody, no matter what the roster is, to the playoffs. Do you remember how mad Sabres fans were about when Kyle Poso said, I don't think we got it, and like I knew it back in December?
Mm-hmm.
Your head coach said that after the Eastern Conference Finals.
To me,
I'm a Carolina fan,
yeah.
I have had enough. I'm done with Rob Brind'Amour. And I don't think that Rod Brind'Amour is a good coach at this point anymore. He is going to get you where he gets you. Congratulations, you're more popular Peter DeBoer.
That's pretty good.
And ready? Even DeBoer made a cup final.
I look at Carolina and even that quote too. It seems like...
It's garbage.
It seems like it's Brind'Amour trying to save face.
Yeah.
That like, hey guys, like our expectations internally.
But he did this last year too.
We're not even get this far.
He did this last year too. He tried to gaslight everyone, saying, "Oh, well, based on how the games were played, it wasn't really a sweep." Yes, it was. You won zero games.
Oh, that's right. He also did say that.
Yeah.
Oh boy, wow. He is a nightmare when the series ends, isn't he?
Not only that, he is a nightmare when the teams that he has to face are good. Every time that the Carolina Hurricanes get this far, they embarrass themselves. And the star players that they tend to grow into or acquire, they leave. Mikko Rantanen shows up in Carolina, and he's bad. This is no longer an accident. It is the coach. He has been there too long for them to not break through at this point, but it's also to say those things in back-to-back series losses. I like what Joe DiBiase tweeted this morning about that. Imagine if Sean McDermott said any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Torches and pitchforks.
Yeah, and McDermott gets a lot of blame already. And I think he's been fairly good with the media.
He knows that he can take this heat.
Yeah, he has stepped in it a few times. He's been around a long enough time where math would tell you he's probably going to step in it a few times. But for the most part, he's given you the coach speak. He's never really given you a moment where you're like, what did he just say? Outside of one or two examples. Stephon Diggs, mandatory minicamp, is really the big one I can think of.
But that's mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, if he said something like they lost to the Chiefs again in the divisional round, this year, the AFC Championship game. And he went to the podium and said, well, I don't know, guys. I mean,
people didn't pick us to win the division.
Yeah, internally, we
lost a lot of players in the wide receiver room. I didn't think we would get this far. Like, that's the equivalent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do that. I see Lindy Ruff take more responsibility for a Buffalo Sabres team that he just rejoined than Rob Brind'Amour for his playoff failures. Again, shame on me for wanting him last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is now a coach that I would never want to go near. And considering that we're rebuilding the 06 Hurricanes in the front office, I do have to legitimately worry about this if Carolina keeps him for one more year. Lindy's contract runs out, Brind'Amour gets fired next year, and the next thing you know, it's my personal hell.
I think for me, though, just with Carolina,
say goodbye to like Tage Thompson and any sort of offensive output because we're going to go to like trying to win games 2-1. And the Sabres have proven we can't do that.
Yeah, I look at Carolina, but I look at a lot of teams around the NHL and the Sabres are part of this, too. It's complacency.
It is.
Carolina is ownership, the team, whatever, just thrilled to be there.
Complacency. Defined.
And they're not
pure.
I don't think they're going to move on from Rod Brind'Amour. They haven't before, and they've had some of these disastrous losses before. Look, the streak came out this year again where what did it end up ending at? 15 games in the Eastern Conference Finals they lost in a row. Why would they change now? Why? They're still competitive. Yep. Hey, Toronto might tear everything down. There's one team you don't have to worry about, maybe. We'll run it back.
Cool. The Metro is still so weak that Carolina is going to find their way back into this conversation because, speaking of gaslighting, Gary Bettman thinks this is a great playoff format. We get the early ratings and then everyone can check out. No. Gary, there's 8 rounds in the first round. There's 8 matchups. People will flock to the matchups that seem interesting. The 1-8 probably will not get attention unless it's a series. And if it's a series, that's a bonus. That means maybe, like Jets-Blues would have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
Jets-Blues goes to 7. That would still get people watching. But you start to look at it and go, maybe your seeding format is bad, and you keep his logic on this at the general managers meetings this past, like in 2025. He denounces the idea of changing the format, citing that first round matchups are created that are exciting, and that the best teams have to play each other eventually. So why not in the first round? Gary, what are we doing? How many times have I gone on about the playoff format over the last few weeks, Zach?
A few times.
More than I want to. That's the answer. More than I want to. And I'm doing it again here because I'm watching the Carolina Hurricanes get stomped. Edmonton has suddenly turned this series into a non-series against Dallas after losing game one. And I have to sit here and go, what are we doing? The Atlantic Division has represented the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup for 7 straight years now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you put it 1-8, we might get a good conference final, because over the last few years, it has not been.
No, it hasn't been a good conference final at all. I will say I still stand by it. I still think the Atlantic
mostly because
dominates.
Carolina Hurricanes keep showing up and not winning.
Well, but that's, I think the Atlantic still dominates. I think we just have better conference finals.
Yes, and so, that's the point. You want to keep, like you said, the playoffs are a grind. Sometimes people will check out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a reason to keep showing up. Best matchups later on means better hockey, means more people.
Yeah. But so looking at the change in the playoff format, 1-8. Scott Maxwell of the Daily Faceoff, he wrote an article. I know Jeremy White's retweeted it. We were both reading it this morning. He just went through it, both East and West. Here's what the first round matchups would have been, 1-8. One of the matchups in both conferences would have been our conference finals current matchups.
And the thing is that teams do play each other eventually, mm-hmm. like in a final. That is that's just what happened here. That's happenstance to me. But it is also both of those, they're 3-6 and 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that I have a division that is so staggeringly weak that is automatically getting a bid to the conference final. But yeah, no, the divisional playoffs, they still work.
It's frustrating because you're looking at what the first round could have been, and you'd still have good matchup.
You'd still have
your
some
current
great
Eastern Conference final would be a first round matchup. And you know what? If Carolina loses in the exact same way, which is what? They lost in 5? They mm-hmm. weren't swept. They lost in 5. Okay. It's a first round matchup. They lost in 5. They weren't one of the better teams. And you move on. But this is also something, too, where it's the same in basketball. The Western Conference is so obnoxiously better than the Eastern Conference, star wise, team building wide, everything. It's the same in the NHL. Just you look at it now in divisions where the Atlantic is so obnoxiously better than the Metropolitan. What are we doing here? I'll take this all the way back. This is why I can't stand the lottery. It doesn't reward bad teams. It just rewards a bunch of okay to good teams having a bad year, and they potentially get even more prospects, better talent.
I just – something about this where – also, how many times have we watched the first round of Edmonton and Los Angeles?
It's become yearly television.
And
their matchup has become a yearly occurrence.
And it's because, oh, you guys are both just guaranteed a spot as your second and third in your division. Yes, I know the one way to change that is other teams just do better. But why is it that we have to have 2 and 3 like this all the time? You don't.
You could change the format.
Have teams meet each other naturally in the playoffs mm-hmm. and create natural hatred. You are forcing hatred in the first round, and then you are witnessing in the conference finals.
Yeah, they just throw it in. They're like, all right, whatever. I mean, it's happening. We're gonna have a Stanley, yeah, we're gonna have a Stanley Cup final. My problem is ultimately you can change the format. It still is almost definitely going to end with the Atlantic dominates in the East, and it's the same where the Met will still struggle. They're still bad. We just maybe get rid of some of the bad teams like Carolina, not bad teams, but less than deserving teams like Carolina out much sooner. They're not in the Eastern Conference final, and we maybe have a better final, but I think we're still having ultimately the same conversation of, man, the Atlantic is really dominating. And man, the state of Florida really doing a good job in the East.
There's something to that as well, but like I don't know how much I want to go into detail about that, but like I look at a team like a Tampa or a Toronto, a top five finish in the National Hockey League this year. Tampa's gone in five games.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto has gone in round two. And oftentimes, it's not round two.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been like a top five caliber team in points throughout the regular season. And while some of this does speak to Toronto more than anything else, because at some point you just got to beat the Game 7 boogeyman.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's weird. Like last year, they locked themselves into a matchup with the Boston Bruins.
And you couldn't move. There was no way it was going to change. We've talked about that for years.
In game 81, they locked that in. And I think a lot of Leafs fans thought, we're dead in the water.
Yeah, it's over already. But we've talked about that for years with the playoff format where, I mean, a little less so the last two or three years. But for years, it was by January, you knew who the Eastern Conference playoffs were going to be.
Yeah.
You knew the matchups by January.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We should not know the matchups. We should not know an entire division's playoff matchups in January. It's embarrassing. And I think it needs to be better. And the fact that it's not, and here I am sitting talking about the playoff format again, it's getting really annoying. Because I know nothing's going to change because Gary Bettman he thinks everything's fine. But it needs to change. Then there's the whole, like, Florida teams making it, and I don't know how much of it I want to sink weight into. But I do know that there is a certain quote where he cooked, and it was a bad time to say it.
803-0550, the number to call, talking the Stanley Cup and NBA playoffs. Also talk a little bit of football as well. Former Bills wide receiver in the news just a little bit. We'll give our thoughts on that. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
For me, it's really simple. You become a perennial playoff team. You make the playoffs, so you have a chance to win Stanley Cup year after year. You are on less teams, no trade list. We don't have palm trees. We have taxes in New York. Those are real. And those are things you deal with. In conversations every day, and there's a lot of players in this league that were on their list, so we need to earn the respect, and it starts with getting over the hump, getting in the playoffs, competing.
The infamous quote, palm trees, taxes, from Kevin Adams. There's something interesting to this quote. He was spitting facts. He said it at a bad time, but I do feel like there was something factual there that needs to be revisited with the NHL. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I looked back at this quote because of the fact that the Florida Panthers convincingly, again, marched to the Stanley Cup Final. And the fact that the Florida teams, Tampa Bay and Florida, have now marched to six straight Stanley Cup Final appearances. It is starting to not be an accident anymore as to where there is a little bit of an advantage. And I thought of the Kevin Adams quote for that. He was telling the truth on something. He should not have said it then because you were in the midst of a losing streak.
You maybe should never say it, especially when you're in the area that we're in.
No.
It's always going to be a touchy subject, whether it's right or wrong.
If the man has made the playoffs, I feel like he could absolutely fire that off the hip.
He could.
The thing is that he was in the middle of a losing streak when that happened. That was the worst time to throw that out there. He's right, though. He was vaguely attacking the seeming advantage that there is with the Florida teams right now. And it's fair to do. Again,
not in that situation. That's why he got roasted for it. Overall, the quote is a bad look. But I do find it interesting that there's a hidden piece in there of the truth. The NHL has a Florida problem.
Well, if you ask Gary, it's not much of a problem. I mean, the Arizona experiment failed, but Florida's flourishing.
Yeah. But the problem being, yeah, teams are doing this. Combine it with a couple of savvy GMs making strong moves, and you really have this staggering effect going on for the two teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know how much of a problem this is, but I do think it was interesting enough for me to at least come back with the segment on this, because we were talking about the playoffs with like the NHL playoff format and everything like that. Why is Florida so dominant? And there's something there of, oh yeah, I want to look back on a quote that did have some truth to it. I'm not going to cry sour grapes over it. Mm-hmm. GMs do need to be smarter overall, and in hockey, there are a lot of circumstances and a lot of instances that we could point to going, yeah, that's just bad general managering.
And we've talked about it off air that maybe some GMs who should be fired are starting to get more of a longer leash. Adams in Buffalo, obviously, we know all too well, but there are others that, man, you have not earned another year doing this.
Yzerman is really only going off of the career that he had in Detroit as to why he's still the general manager there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to wonder where things are going to go with Minnesota with Bill Guerin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is Don Sweeney with Boston. He got away with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now that team came crashing and burning down. Chris Drury with the Rangers. Ask anyone in New York City that's a Rangers fan. They're upset that Chris Drury has gotten an extension.
Yeah.
Breer with Philadelphia might be in his final days. But I don't know. There's a lot that you could sell on the idea of, yeah, that Chuck Fletcher guy really put me in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing as how NHL teams are trying to practice patience right now with general managers, it's not a bad idea.
I think half of it is they don't want to pay guys that aren't on their staffs anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's league-wide.
Shovel Dayoff with the Jets. He is a good GM. But at some point, when do you look at your playoff failures and go, we need to change things?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see. League-wide, the LA Kings are sick of losing the first round. They get rid of Blake.
Yeah, there are very clearly a few teams who are willing to change, adapt, willing to try different things. People will complain about Las Vegas till they're blue in the face. I love how they operate. I wish some of my favorite teams would operate like they do, which is, damn the Torpedoes, I don't care if you like me or not, I want to win. And I'm going to do everything I can to win. I'll bend the rules. I don't care.
My contempt of Vegas is, quite honestly, its social media presence and its fan base.
Their social media presence is phenomenal. Own the villain role, baby.
It's annoying. And also, you don't know real pain. None of you.
Yeah, because they refuse to do it.
I know, but
they tasted a little bit of success and went, we will never... We lost one, or we didn't make the playoffs in 1 year and decided to burn everything down. I'd love them. Florida had a 100-point score, and
their fan base will be like, oh, we lost in the second round of the playoffs. This is the worst thing that's happened to me. And I'm just like, shut all the way up.
That's Boston fans for both of our entire lives.
Yeah. Like, still, it's one of those things where you're just like, shut up.
But
please do.
But
not talk.
But the thing, I don't care about their fans. Like, cool, good for them. Like, I wish more teams would operate with that kind of gusto to say, hey, we're in a sports league. We're trying to win things. Not like the Carolina Hurricanes who are like, I mean, we're an NHL team. We're making the playoffs. This is incredible.
We're here.
This is thrilling, guys.
Oh, I didn't know we were even going to make the playoffs this year. You are the coach. That is your job.
You know,
you should always be thinking you're making the playoffs.
And maybe this is a lot of
Sean owners. McDermott tears the roster down in 2017. He doesn't care.
Yeah, and maybe this is a lot on owners too, but like I look at the same with baseball, where you could argue there's like six teams in Major League Baseball that have more in common with AAA teams than they do Major League ball clubs that they're in the same league with.
To quote Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers, no excuses, play like a champion. Come on.
So like for me with I think the palm trees thing is right with the state taxes and everything like that. You've seen
it. It's interesting. And it's not my whole case.
No, but there is something to it. But I also think for years, NHL franchises, a lot of them, including a lot of the Canadian ones, have been run poorly.
They get in their own way. Ottawa. Oh, my God, Ottawa.
Ottawa. And Canada also, I mean, that's like, there's historic precedence to that of guys wanting to leave to go to the United States. Look at what happened with Calgary. Mm-hmm. They had a very, very good team. Nobody wanted to stay. So I mean, like that's and it was a bit of a fear.
It is oddly enough a pair of Americans that led that exodus.
Yeah,
and with Goudreau and Tkachuk.
And I know it was a fear for a little while with Edmonton and McDavid. It didn't seem like very long, but I know it was a little bit of a fear. But also, the Canadian teams operate very old school, and they don't change very much. And the teams that seem to have long-standing success do different things. They're not complacent. They're willing to risk it a bit.
As of a couple of years ago, though, the Canadian teams had the big four goofballs.
Mm-hmm.
Dorion with Ottawa. Bergevin with Montreal.
Love him.
Benning with Vancouver. And Chiarelli in Edmonton. At one point, all four of those general managers were in Canada. Terrifying stuff. Absolutely haunting. And to think all those men were running teams at the same time. Again, haunting stuff. Haunting. And you joke about like, hey, maybe you could take advantage of one of those GMs, one of those wacky guys. None of them are running a team anymore. And you hate to see it.
I was to say, some would say, thank goodness. Others like me would be like, I miss them.
I miss
watching Chuck Fletcher also do things was exciting. You mentioned him in the first segment. Watching Chuck Fletcher do anything there was a thrill ride.
Right.
Now, if I was a Flyer fan, I would have very different words for him.
Ron Hextall in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Ron Hextall
in Pittsburgh. Disaster. Actually, oddly enough, Vancouver, though, Rutherford.
Mm.
Jim Rutherford has pretty much run his course, I think, at this point.
Yeah,
and he's still there, and he's in Vancouver, and they are very much in a problem spot. And he mentions publicly, oh, yeah, Quinn Hughes might go to New Jersey to sign with his brothers in free agency. It's your job to keep him there.
It is uncomfortable.
Like, why are you saying that out loud?
But, like, talking about the NHL, honestly, like, it feels like a super broken league that is very much kept alive by exciting high-end talent.
Sometimes these GMs just consume an obscene amount of pixie sticks. And it is on. The fact that the salary cap is going up and a player like Mitch Marner is available in free agency, I cannot wait for the overly bloated contract that Brock Besser gets because a team did not land Marner.
You mentioned it when talking about Marner that like teams will they'll have the money and have the itch to spend.
I look at 2017 and I know that general managers, when they see a cap increase like this, the eyes get wide. You drank from the wrong punch bowl. We're going to have ourselves a night.
Maybe there's
one of the
also
kids at
too.
Homecoming spiked the punch bowl.
Yeah.
You drank from that one, and you're in charge of the Vancouver Canucks.
That's a good time. But maybe it is like the sports like baseball, or not baseball, excuse me, basketball and hockey, where like football, definitively, one guy will not change an organization. That is not a quarterback. Quarterbacks, I think, can absolutely change the
temperature. Rosters are too big, 53.
They're too big, right? And there's too many positions. You have to fill out everybody.
Right.
Where, like, the NBA, the Knicks traded, what, like five first-round picks for Mikal Bridges? Yep. If anyone did that in the NFL for anybody, any position, they are laughed out of a room. The NBA, it's fine.
Even when they pay three, it is seen as, oh, you're just swinging.
Yeah. And hockey,
Jacksonville going up for
Jacksonville,
three spots for Travis Hunter. They have to give a first-round pick to do it. And people see that as, that's a message. Jacksonville is not playing around. Mm-hmm. This new general manager is trying to make his legacy, make his mark right away.
Yep.
And Cleveland, this is too good of an offer to pass up at that point if you're not taking Hunter for some strange reason. The Jared Goff trade, both times, when he is selected and when he is dealt.
Yep.
Jared Goff nabs you multiple first-round picks. And that is seen as, what is it seen as for LA when they acquire Stafford and Goff and several firsts are sent along?
They're making the move.
They're making the move. And they gave up a younger quarterback and two first-round picks to see if Matthew Stafford could get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And that is seen as an important move, a job-defining move. It works, but it is still seen as, oh boy, this is the opportunity.
But like that's the thing.
Those
are the big moves in football. There are some like historically bad ones. I mean, you'll always have like a running back or a wide receiver that is wholly overpaid, and everyone's like, and immediately it's like that's not going to work.
Ryan Gregson trading a first for Trent Richardson.
Where hockey almost feels like it's in like it's in the middle of the NHL or in the NFL and the NBA in terms of how GMs operate. Where like the NBA is trade happy and they're willing to trade every asset. Who cares about the draft? Doesn't matter. The NHL, a lot about caring about the draft. Don't really move top 10 picks all that much. But like you mentioned, but when GMs get money to spend, when the salary cap goes up. Look at Nashville last year. How much money they spent in free agency.
How much money they put in free agency and how bad that team ended up being.
How much money do we think per year Mitch Marner's going to get? Probably $14 million per year?
I'm thinking 15.
And you think 15. And that doesn't surprise me at all.
We're hearing whispers that Sam Bennett might get 10.
Oh yeah. So if that happens, 15 is a safe number for Marner. It probably could go higher.
If Bennett gets $10 million on more than 5 years, that is a disaster contract in the waiting. It's not for the beginning impact, obviously. Like, Bennett would be a good player for you, but even at $10 million, he doesn't offer a game that gets you that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, year four, year five of those contracts with a physical style, he will wear himself down to a point where, yeah, this is not a good idea. This was a bad contract. We are in hell.
But my thing with look at Minnesota for years with bad free agent signings, literally
all because
crippled
of one
their
day.
Organization. Yeah, one day. Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, and that has been the legacy of the Minnesota Wild for like 12 years now. One day. And so I even look at Mitch Marner. I know there's some excitement around him because we've talked about it, what he could be. I also sit here and go, is that even remotely a smart idea to pay him $15 million? Purely off of what else you can build around the roster.
What else you can build around the roster. And I do think that a skill-based game will obviously favor you in a longer-term contract.
Mm-hmm.
Marner does not have physicality. He will not be worn down like that. He does play a skill-based game, a speed-based game, and physical attributes are the first thing to die in hockey, always. It's why Montreal handing a massive amount of money in free agency to Jeff Petrie was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Petrie, it was Carl Alsner.
Mm.
Alsner's in the AHL within 3 years on that contract. They see the shiny gem. And like every goblin ever, they go running and screaming, tackling each other to try to get the shiny gem.
803-0550, the number to call. Ryan, we'll get to you first if you hang on. But before we hit our next time up, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Bro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, we'll be right back. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick segment here as we wrap up hour number one of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we go to the phones. We can get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. First up today, Ryan is on the line. Ryan, good morning. How are we doing today?
Matt, Derek, love the show.
Thank you, thank you.
I just want to make a comment on why not the Sabres go after Brandon Shanahan. I believe he's the one who drafted Mitch Marner. And maybe, you know what, hey, maybe he could influence Marner to come to a Buffalo. My thoughts.
Okay, so, Ryan, I'm smelling what you're cooking. And I'm intrigued because of the fact that you are playing into my dream of getting Mitch Marner to Buffalo. I appreciate that. Because you're playing into it, yeah, I am going to follow the smell. That said, I don't know how much I would want Brendan Shanahan here if Brendan Shanahan is just going to bring the Toronto Maple Leafs to you. Yes, I know the whole ordeal. I'd rather be anyone but what the current Buffalo Sabres playoff drought is. But I also know that constantly being a plateau team, like a Toronto or a Carolina Hurricanes, for example, would figuratively drive me crazy. Maybe actually drive me crazy. Considering that I'm annoyed by those two teams, and I'm not a fan of them. As a matter of fact, with one of them, I'm a bigger hater than the other that I should be the bigger hater for.
Mm-hmm.
And those two teams are driving me up a wall, even though I hate them. Toronto had become a little bit of this, like, okay, please let me tell a different story. Carolina is sounding like a different thing of, like, quite literally happy to be here. To a point where there's an arrogance to it that even Toronto would love to see. Of making the conference finals. Like, yeah, the cup drought's still there and all that, but like, winning a second round in the playoffs would be huge. And Carolina ho-hum gets to be there and go, yeah, we didn't get swept last year. Yeah, you did. I didn't know we were even going to make the playoffs this year. Yeah, you did.
That's tough, man. That's really... the hell of a quote.
Yeah. Like, oh, boy, shame on me for wanting Brendan Moore last year. Shame on me. Anyway, back to that call, though, of I'm still here for any and all ideas to strengthen the case of getting Mitch Marner to Buffalo. 1,000%. I will always be here for that. I don't know if Brendan Shanahan, though, does help. I think Mitch Marner goes, that's a Toronto ghost, and I don't want that.
That was my thought looking at the call screen and just being like, I think Marner wants to get as far away from Toronto as possible. If Shanahan all of a sudden goes to Buffalo and goes, hey, bud, do you want to cut? I think he'd be like, absolutely not. I already don't think he'll be that into Buffalo.
Yeah, because it's not far away enough.
But I think the idea of Shanahan being a good recruitment tool, I think is more of a hope. He was there for Marner's entire career. He was hired as the president of
hockey ops. I feel like something's there.
And their president. Or whatever whatever his exact role was.
I feel like there's something there to it, though. There is some credence to it.
Alternate
governor. Because why do they keep holding on to the core four? Ultimately, that's up to Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a belief there, probably. I don't know if Shanahan believes in Marner anymore because he's no longer in Toronto because his idea didn't work. And if he does think, hey, I want to create Toronto and Buffalo, that means you didn't learn a lesson.
Yeah, and
that's troubling too.
And that's troubling too, especially when, yes, just want to end the drought, but also, ooh, I don't want to be knowingly walking into a bad situation.
Overall, I call it a C-plus idea. Not terrible, but you know what? There are things to be argued against it.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts, talking Mitch Marner as well. We haven't touched on the Stephon Diggs story. We can definitely do that on the way back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Shop. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.